This is the Aftermarket Radio Network.
Welcome to another episode of Business by the Numbers. I'm your host, Hunt Demarest, CPA with Parmelis & Associates. This, in the third and final week of the three-part series discussing our 2024 benchmark, we are going to be covering what I feel like is the most important piece of this, the top versus the not shops. The reason of why I think that this is important is obviously benchmarking, as we've been talking about for the last 2 weeks, is explicitly important to compare yourself geographically to others in your industry. But let's be real. Do you want to compare yourself to your industry, even geographically, even in the same type of shop? Or do you want to try to mimic what the top shops are doing? That's exactly what we're going to talk about this week. Before we get into that, I just want to stop and say thank you to you and the rest of the dedicated listeners. Reminder, if you want to hear a question answered on here, shoot me an email at podcast@parmelis.com. Want to talk to me about accounting and tax services for your auto repair shop? Shoot us a text at 301-307-5413. And don't forget, the link to the benchmark report is in the show notes. Lastly, but surely not leastly, we can't forget our dedicated sponsor, Promotive, for being such loyal supporters of the show. If you need to hire the next rock star for your team, give them a call. It's time to hire a superstar for your business. What a grind you have in front of you. Great news. You don't have to go at it alone. Introducing Promotive, a full-service staffing solution for your shop. Let them do the heavy lifting and enlist your hiring partner online at gopromotive.com. Before we talk about the top versus the not and what we can maybe glean from both sides of this, we need to discuss a little bit about what we're talking about here. Again, I have to remind you guys, this is the third of a three-part series. So if you are just listening to this episode, go and listen to the first one. And also, as a reminder, the link to the actual report that I'm going to be going down through is in the show notes. Just as I said the other 2 weeks on it, this is my conclusions. Now, some of these I might have different context than you because I know some of the specific shops in here. But again, draw your own conclusions and would love to hear the feedback on them. But all in all, really, this analysis of the top versus not is probably the most requested thing that we had from our clients that is put in here. We benchmark all of our clients' data. We compare to the averages. And like I said in the intro there, some people like to see what the averages are doing. What can we learn from the top shops and what can we maybe learn to avoid in the bottom shops is exactly what we're going to talk about. Remember that there is variables to this. Every person runs their business in a different way. So when we're looking at the top shops, is there discretionary expenses in there that maybe are even limiting their profit? Maybe, maybe not. Most of these adjustments have been adjusted out, but not all of them are able to be adjusted in the easy way. Also, we are looking at financial and non-financial metrics here when we judge a business generally. For this exercise, the way that we pick the top shops and the way that we pick the not shops is purely on profit, purely on outputs here. And this is where we get to the last key point on here. There is a broad spectrum of success. If your success looks like sitting on a beach and not in an auto repair shop, then this is probably not going to be a great metric for you because I will tell you, not a single one of our top shops was an absentee owner. And generally, if I was to put a number on this, most of my top shops had an owner in there more or less full time, 5 days a week, 6 days a week. Do not compare your success to other people's success because your definition might be different. But again, this is business by the numbers. We're going to talk about numbers. So let's get into what makes the top shops top and what can we maybe avoid from the bottom shops. What I want to do here is I want to illustrate what we have on here, and then I'm going to give you the context of what this could mean behind the numbers. Because what we're trying to do here is we are looking at numbers. And like I have always said, numbers do not lie. These are real numbers. These are the top shops. These are the not shops. Want to argue with me? I will argue till my face is blue. These are the numbers. What we're going to hear these analysis and these conclusions on this are my opinion. And like we said, numbers don't lie, but people do. But again, I think that most of these stories match up because I actually know the real stories of some of these shops. But without further ado, let's get into it. And what I feel is the most important metric that we're going to see here is what is starting to separate the top shops from the not. First thing on here is productivity. Productivity for a top shops was over 55%. And we'll talk a little bit about where this stuff compares to the average. Compared to the bottom shops, coming in at 41% productivity. A 15% difference in productivity. What does that mean? If someone has 15% less productivity than someone else, That means that if we have two shops with the sole difference being productivity, if the bottom shop is doing $1 million, that same exact shop with the same exact team is doing 1.15 million probably. 15% higher on it because you increase your productivity by 15%, you are going to increase your sales by 15%. I think that the big conclusion that we can draw, and you can see if you agree with me yourself on this, is are you maximizing fill in the blank? Because again, first thing on this, are you maximizing your team? And if your team is productive, you're maximizing your technicians. And if your team is not productive, you're not. Labor inventory, the amount of hours that you have in your team, is probably the most fickle piece of inventory that you can ever have. If you have water pumps, they are not good for 10 years, but they're probably good for a year or two. If you have labor inventory, it expires at the end of every day. If you don't sell it, if you don't bill it out, if you don't get paid for it, you can't try again the next day. It's over. But when I said, are you maximizing is the key to the top shops on there, it doesn't just stop with your people. Let's take a look at these other ones of looking at some of the sales by bay, by technician, and some different metrics like that. If we go down to the same thing, I'm going a little bit out of order here, but if we're looking at productivity, let's look at the average sales per technician. $37,000 is what the average shop in our top shops is producing compared to our bottom shops are looking at around $25,000. This is average monthly sales per technician. The top shops are producing $13,000 more per month than the bottom shops on this. You have one technician on it, that means that this is going to be, what, $140,000 difference? You have three technicians on it, probably $500,000. God forbid you have six technicians. The top versus the not is a probably $1 million difference in sale between the two. Why? Is it pricing? Is it productivity? Is it a combination of both? We'll see in a little bit. I'm not going to cheat too much here. As you might imagine on here, if we're not maximizing the current team that we have in place, are we maximizing our real estate? Because if we have a 15-bay facility that we're only operating out of two bays, you obviously are probably not going to be as profitable. Unsurprisingly so, when we look at average monthly sales per bay, we see that the top shops are averaging around $25,000 per bay, whereas the bottom shops are averaging around $12,000 a bay. If you want to look at the difference on that, about 50% maximizing the potential of the space. Same shop, same size on this, a top shop is going to do twice the amount of sales as the other one per bay. It's getting pretty wild. Now, one of the more surprising things here is let's compare gross profit. And if our sales are half per bay, then what would you expect your gross profit to be? Half. And what we see is it's drastically worse. Gross profit dollars per bay for our top shops came in around $13,000. So remember, that technician is billing out $37,000 and averaging $13,000. This is per bay. So a little bit different than comparing that technician, because it looks like most of you guys, technician, have like 1.5 to 1.7 bays. On the not shops, this is where it really starts to fall off of a cliff. Instead of $13,000 in gross profit that we saw on the top shops, our not shops were averaging around $3,700 per bay. Not maximizing the team, not maximizing the technicians, not maximizing the bay, and obviously not maximizing the gross profit. Not to beat a dead horse on here, but you know there is more we can learn. So I get it, Hunt. If we don't bill out, if we're not productive, if we don't maximize our space, we're not going to make as much money. I don't think that's a novel concept on here, but I think it is in its own right. Let's not overthink this. And I always talk about your financials and not overthinking your business. I will tell you that if you stop at this page, if you are able to match those numbers, I'm going to get my productivity to 55%. I'm going to get my average monthly sales. All of these shops will go to bottom shop to top shops, guaranteed. The hard part about this is it is easier said than done. And again, a lot of this is we're measuring outputs. You don't improve productivity, you improve process, procedures, people, training that ultimately improves productivity. Until we have robots driving the cars and fixing their cars, productivity is always, always, always going to be a constant battle. So if we look at ARO on this, again, we have a pretty big gap. Top shops are averaging almost $800 per ticket, whereas the bottom shops are averaging around $573. What's that? $210 difference, or around a 25% shortfall if you're going from top to bottom. It's hard to really draw a lot of conclusions on the average repair order because, again, these are different kinds of shops in here, and average repair order is not a good indicator on profitability. It looks like it is because the top shops and not obviously have a difference, But along the way, we have ARO like this between the two ends of the spectrum. The big thing, though, that I'll look at ARO and where I see it a lot in the shops where the ARO itself doesn't necessarily help or hurt on it. Obviously, if you can have massive amount of sales, it's always going to help you. But the idea behind it that I've heard always argued is if you have a higher ARO, you have less cars coming in and out of the bay, which is going to increase efficiency and productivity. I don't seem to disagree with that fact either. Again, we saw some pretty wide margins when we looked at that first page. And you say, Hunt, why is this so different? Obviously, if you're not going to be producing, if you're not selling, if you're not maximizing your space, you're not making that much money. But again, those are outputs. Let's look at the inputs here and see if we see those same differences. On the labor side of it, we know that their outputs are drastically different. So in the back of your mind, a lot of you were probably thinking, well, hon, I bet you these top shops are just selling this labor for much, much more money if they're going to be 100% better than the bottom shops. But you might be surprised that the difference between the top shop's average labor rate and the bottom shop is a little bit over $10. Top shops are at $167, bottom shops are at $155. What does that mean? If you're going around asking for what everyone's labor rate and think that's a good indicator, that's your ticket to profit on here, yeah, again, if you can sell the same hours of labor for 20, 30% more, it's always going to help. But again, the top shop in my study was not my top labor rate shop. I have a handful of shops that are over $300 an hour, and I will tell you none of those made it in the top shops. Labor rate doesn't always mean labor dollars. But in this case on it, if we see lower productivity on this, even if pricing is similar, as you might imagine, labor gross profit for the bottom shops is much, much lower. Our top shops and where they really shine on this is their labor gross profit. Labor gross profit being almost 70% for our top shops compared to just over 50% for the bottom shops is probably the largest gap that we saw. But again, that 15% gap is coming right from the productivity side. I would argue labor gross profit is the output and productivity and hourly rate are the input. Again, we saw hourly rates very similar. So we have similar inputs other than that production or lack thereof. Shop owners, are you struggling to find and retain top-tier talent for your automotive shop? Introducing Promotive, on the web at gopromotive.com. With over 40 years of combined industry and recruiting experience, we're the ultimate staffing solution. We go beyond traditional agencies. Our team provides dedicated recruiters and account managers advising on processes, compensation, and benefits. We focus on placing technicians and service advisors with shops that offer the best culture, training, and long-term growth opportunities. Trust our experience to match the right talent to your shop. We carefully select shops that value employee excellence and provide an environment for success. Our dedicated team leads the entire process, leveraging our industry knowledge and expertise. Partner with Promotive and experience their advantage to help you build a high-performing team that drives your shop's growth. Visit gopromotive.com today and let us help find and keep the best talent in the industry. Parts gross profit. Top shops were at 49% and bottom shops were at 43.7%. I was expecting a larger difference here. In the past, some of our struggling shops and our lower profitability shops, we were having a 20, 30% profit margin. Really, as a whole in the industry, we do not see very many shops consistently going 40% parts margin unless they're a unique type of business, which is refreshing to see because I feel like that was one of your hardest pushbacks that you got from customers is, well, I can buy that part for cheaper. I imagine that you guys are still getting that same pushback. Some of your vendors are selling to your customers at the same price they're selling to you, but the numbers don't lie. You seem to be landing sales here. What are we going to do here? So if we go down, we can see gross profit. Again, top shops are more profitable from a gross profit level and a net profit level. And as you might imagine, the not shops or our bottom shops are going to have relatively higher overhead cost. But before we wrap this up and get into a little bit of a overall analysis of how this compares to the top and not where this compares to some of the averages, I want to talk a little bit more about people and labor because one of the non-financial metrics that we asked our client base is how are you paying your people? And some of this stuff, if you look at commission-based, you can see that around 44% of the top shops pay commission on it, and around 33% of the bottom shops do. So we see commission on both ends of it. Commissioned, just because you put someone on commission, doesn't guarantee your success. The drastic difference on there is only 11% of our top shops pay their service advisor on a salary, compared to almost half of our bottom shops. this one's a little bit tricky because you could be looking at this and say, hey, the reason why these shops are low is they're only paying salary because these guys can't sell enough. I will tell you that in most of these, that is probably not the case. And if you put up any sort of commission structure for these bottom shops, the advisor would quit. Looking at this and say, is this our cause or effect, is a little bit tricky on here. But either way on this, you don't see much salary in a profitable top performing shop. This is service advisor that we were talking about. On the tech pay plans, this is gets very similar here. The thing that again surprised me is how many times have you heard about a salary technician? It's again, very, very uncommon, unless your productivity is so low that you could never release into flat rate or something like that because they would starve. 33% of our top shops are paying their team salary. If you say, no, you got to be a flat rate shop, it looks according to this at around 50% are salary and hourly and 50% are not. And that's a top shop. So if you want to compare yourself to the top, I wouldn't do it by pay plan because half of them are doing commission, half of them are doing straight salary or hourly. Compared to the bottom shops, yeah, almost 90% of those shops are either doing salary or hourly and only 10 or 11% are doing commission based. I will have the same argument that we had on service advisor. Is that the cause of their lack of productivity? Maybe there could be a possibility of that. But again, if you put some of these bottom performing shops on flat rate with the way the productivity looks on this, again, no one would be able to get enough work to eat. Last one on here is top shops. Almost all of you guys are offering retirement plans, but the bottom shops, most of you guys are too. The difference is subtle, but the difference is massive at the same time. The input differences are very subtle. The output differences could not be more drastic, where our top shops are taking home around 25% of every single dollar that comes through the door, whereas our bottom shops, I think, actually were on a negative or losing around 3% of their sales on a yearly basis. Hammer that home and wrap this thing up. The last page on here is where we compare the averages to the top and bottom shops. And again, we went through some of this stuff, but if you look at some of these metrics, there is not as much of a difference as you would expect. So this last part is when, you know, I talk to you, your coach talks to you, someone in the industry talks to you and say, hey, you know what, that metric, whatever, that's close enough. This is exactly what I mean. Those small difference on inputs create those massive 20, 30% difference on the outputs. When your coach says, you know what, your labor gross profit needs to improve, and you say, it's all right at 54%, why do I care? The bottom shops are at 54%, the average shops are at 59%, and the top shops are at 67%. A very big jump from bottom shops to top shops, not that far from average to below average to put you into bottom there. Again, parts margin, average of all of our shops was 46%, bottom shops was 44%. Parts margin is probably not going to be your key to success here. Advertising, bottom shops are averaging more than the average. So bottom shops are averaging 2.7% of their sales, top shops are averaging 2.2%. So right on target. Makes sense. If you're one of our lower shops here on this report, you probably want to get some more cars in, probably doing some more advertising. And from a numbers perspective, it looks exactly what I would expect to see. But other kind of character clues of what you would see a shop looks like, top shops, bottom shops, average shops are all doing around 100 cars per service advisor per month. All of them have around 2 to 2.2 techs per service advisor. So those look almost identical. Rent looks almost identical. You guys are spending the exact same amount on education and training. You guys are even paying yourself very similar. So all in all, what does this mean? This means that this business and this industry has become too exact to just go by the seat of your pants. This business has become too complicated for you to run on just emotions and feeling. And this is what I hope that the benchmark allows you to do. Allows you to get out of that cycle of just going by what you feel and what you think and looking at the numbers and judging your business by the numbers. I hope this was helpful. I hope that you liked this three-part series. And more importantly, I hope that you liked this benchmark report. A final thanks to all of the shops that participated in this. A special thanks to my entire team that put this together. And if you want to see something different, you want to ask me a question about it, I'm always here. So feel free to shoot me an email. Thanks again for listening on the Aftermarket Radio Network. Don't forget, if you want to be a guest on here or just have a question for me, shoot me an email at podcast@parmelis.com. Don't forget to check out the rest of the shows on the aftermarketradionetwork.com and on your favorite podcast listening apps. Thanks for joining me on Business by the Numbers. Stay safe out there, and I will talk to you all next week.
You've been listening to Business by the Numbers with Hunt Demarest on the Aftermarket Radio Network. Follow Hunt on your favorite podcast listening app. Let him know what you'd like him to cover. His email is in the show notes. Hunt is all for advancing the aftermarket.